Pesach is coming up. We just had Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so our learning about Miriam is very appropriate. And when we read Parshat Beshalach in Torah, when it's one of the Parshat HaShavua, so Shirat Hayam is the Haftorah. And that makes so much sense because we read Shirat Hayam, a Shira, and then we go to the Haftarah. We always have the Dummy Lane Lefi Inyan. It has to be connected. So we read the Shira of Dvorah when she defeated Sisera, and we see that parallel and that correlation. So what's interesting is that we would think that when the seventh day of Pesach comes along, and we read Shirat Hayam again, because on the seventh day, Bnei Israel really crossed the Yam Suf, and that's when we sing and we read Shirat Hayam as the Torah reading, we would also expect that the Shirat of Devorah for the defeat of Sisera, the saving of Am Yisrael, would also be the Haftorah. And we have many times that we use Haftorahs a few times. So it's not like, oh, we used it once, so we can't use it again. But what we do is that we say the Shira of David in the end of Shmuel Bet, when he is thanking Hashem for saving him. So the question is, why did we pick, right? Why did Chazal pick the Shira of David, which is a personal Shira, right, to be the correlation when we're reading Shirat Hayam, when Bnei Israel come out of Mitzrayim? It's part of the national celebration of Pesach. So we have this very interesting idea, because Pesach is really, of course, about the redemption of Am Yisrael. And when we read the Parsha B'Shalach, it's about the redemption of Am Yisrael. And the Shira of Moshe and the Shira of Devorah are really a national event. When we celebrate Pesach, it's also a national event. But another very important aspect of Pesach is also the personal event, is the family event. We do it at home. We do it around our table. Even when we ate Korban Pesach, it was about the family. We had to make sure we counted exactly the amount of people. So Pesach, even though it also has this national idea, also has this very important family and personal idea. So on the seventh day, even though, and of course, we're celebrating the Kriyas Yamsuf and all of Pesach, we're celebrating the Geula of Mitzrayim, part of Pesach is also to internalize the message of the national redemption to a personal idea, to the idea that we also have to personally give Shevach V'Hodah to Hashem, to thank Hashem and to realize we have responsibilities. And we end, right, the last two parts of the Seder is Halal and Nirtza, which again, we do personally. It's not something we do in the Bet HaKnesset, right? We do it personally at the Seder table. And that is also the bookends of Pesach. On the one hand, we have to realize, of course, for Am Yisrael, but also as a family, but also we end with this idea, even though it was a national redemption of Yam Suf, we have to take it personally and realize that there is a personal message for us. We have to give Shira. We have to give Hodah. And many things that we do on Pesach are messages that we have to take personally, that we have to internalize and realize that it's not just for Hashem to do the miracles, right? We have to acknowledge the miracles that Hashem does in our life, but we also have to have Hakarat HaTov. So I want to thank Alan Sector for arranging and always doing his utmost, for Rabbi Orbach for also being very involved in so many things. I want to give a Hakarat HaTov to you for coming out and having that fire of learning, which is very important, because that keeps our community really, you know, on a very strong basis of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and learning intellectual and spiritual. And I also want to give a Hakarat HaTov to YU as well, because it's really a very important Makom Torah for all of us. It really stands for a lot of Hashkafa that we all really believe in, and that, you know, sometimes we take things for granted and we don't realize how important they are. No matter when we really were exposed or connected, we really have many different ways that we are connected, and the Torah that really comes out is really so special. Today, we're so lucky that we also have, you know, YU Torah, but even on a you know, day-to-day basis, we have amazing, you know, Rosh Yeshiva and Morot also, right, who are teaching and spreading. So it's really also my chance to give, a Hakarat HaTov and share it with you to realize, and for me to also say publicly, right, how important and how really blessed I feel that I'm able to be part of this institution and my, you know, all my kids as well, because I didn't grow up in it. I'm a Flatbush graduate. I went to other colleges. So, but I'm saying I realize how important it is, and our family, you know, now is the, you know, ultimate YU family. So it really doesn't, you know, have to be a family affair, right? It's really something that we know in the community is so important. So I want to share my positive thoughts about, you know, YU and the Torah especially that is really spreading and that really sends a good message and an anchor for our community at large and for the world and the Jewish community at large. So continuing with this idea of Shira, so we're in Shmot Perek Tetvav. We're going to start with Shirat Hayam today. So we're on page 4, we're in Shmot Perek Tetvav. Yes, on mine. I think we're all, you all have the same. Yes, meaning we're doing Miriam. So it's on the last section, we are doing the Miriam sources. And when we see Shirat Hayam, Az Yashir Moshe uvnei Yisrael et haShira hazot laHashem. Moshe is the one who's singing the Shira to Hashem, and then all of Bnei Israel follow him. Vayomru lemor Ashira laHashem ki ga'o ga'as sus v'rachvo rama vayam. Moshe is saying Shira, and all of Bnei Israel repeat after him. Moshe is saying a phrase, and all of Bnei Israel follow him. And that's why we have the special way that we write the Shira in the Torah, in the Sefer Torah. And Moshe sings the whole Shira. We say it every day in davening because it's such an important part of our emun and Hashem and our coming out of Mitzrayim. And Rashi explains, right, when Moshe saw the Ness, he just was so full of Shevach Vodah LaHashem in his heart. It just filled so much that he's going to say Shira. It wasn't that, oh, Hashem is telling him, I made a miracle for you in Am Yisrael. Now's the time to sing Shira. Rashi explains he was so overwhelmed with the beauty of what Hashem did and the Ness that he spontaneously sings this Shira. But we don't only have the Shira of Moshe Rabbeinu in Bnei Israel. We have a separate line for the women of Am Yisrael. Now, usually when it says Moshe is singing with Bnei Israel, what would we assume? Of course, it's the men and the women. It's Bnei Israel. The women, of course, are included in Bnei Israel. So what's fascinating is that we have this special mention for Am Yisrael, and then we have this really unique mention for the women of Am Yisrael. But the description is a little different. Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah, when we are describing the women singing Shira, it doesn't just start with Moshe singing in Bnei Israel copy. Miriam just takes, right, Vatikach Miriam HaNeviah, and for the first time we call her a prophet, a prophetess here, and we don't identify her as the sister of Moshe, which you probably should, because Moshe is the popular and well-known leader, but Miriam just takes the timbrel in her hand, Neviah Chot Aharon, Et hatof biada, many different descriptions. Is it a timbrel? Is it a drum? Is it like a tambourine? They're very, you know, many different descriptions. The minute she takes this musical instrument in her hand, vateitzena kol anashim achareha, all the women come out after her. Which means for Moshe, he's singing and all of Bnei Israel sing. But it says, az yashir Moshe uvnei Israel. But with Miriam, the minute she takes the timbrel in her hand, vateitzena kol hanashim achareha, all the women come out. We don't have that word all when it comes to Bnei Israel. And we do have it at other times. When Aharon dies, all of Bnei Israel cry and really lament his passing. Whereas when Moshe dies, it says Bnei Israel cry. And again, the Medrash says beautifully because Aaron was so connected with people and making peace between the individuals and the family that there, every single person really felt it deeply. Moshe was a little bit of a harsh individual. Maybe people didn't feel that loss. They should, but maybe they didn't feel it in the same way. So the fact that the Torah says Kol Anashim Achareya is very significant. And also they come out after Miriam. There was something. She just takes the timbrel in her hand and all the women come after her, Bitupim u'Bimcholot, playing musical instruments and also dancing. So what we have is that the Shira of Bnot Yisrael, of the women of Am Yisrael, is really a full body experience, singing and dancing. And we did the Mechilta last time, right, one of the earliest Midrashim that we have, that the women felt this connection that even though times were terrible, right, it's in the middle of the oppression of Mitzrayim, they planned the dances, they planned the songs that they were going to sing. And here we're seeing it come to fruition. And when Miriam sings her song, Vata'an Lahem Miriam, she's responding to the women. Moshe's leading it. He's singing Bnei Israel, answer. He's singing Bnei Israel, answer. But for Miriam, the whole idea was responding to this spirituality, this yearning to give Shevach Vahodah LaHashem. And she responds to the women the same words that Moshe is saying. And the women sing the Shira, right, saying the same words that Moshe is saying for the men, but they're also singing and dancing. And we saw, again, number six, I just want you to see it highlighted, right, in the Mechilta. What do we have here in the Mechilta, right? When Miriam Hanavia takes the timbrel in her hand, right, this is where the Medrash is found. It's found in Shirat Hayam. It's not found earlier in the stories of Shifra and Puah and Miriam and Yocheved, right? Top of page 5. It's found here, right, at the singing at Yamsuf. So the Medrash wants to show everything that happened to Bnei Israel is because the actions of Miriam. She's the one who told her father, you have to get remarried. She's the one who said, okay, even though we have to make sure that we put Moshe somewhere else, right? When we're putting him in the Yor, she's looking long-term to make sure he's going to be okay. And v'chiminayin hayu lahem l'Yisrael tupim u'micholot. How do they have last four lines, right? Musical instruments and dances. Because the tzaddikim in that generation believed that Hashem is going to make them nisim and niflaot. So even though the Medrash says tzaddikim, we're including, of course, the tzaddikim, tzaddikot, and tzaddikim. It doesn't just say tzaddikim, all the tzaddikim. But when the Torah tells us, right, who were singing and dancing, it really highlights the actions of the women. And here it also says, just like Moshe said Shira for the men, Miriam said Shira for the women. So the Medrash wants to put this whole idea of beginning to end of the miracle of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the birth of Moshe and the saving at Yam Suf, pretty much all in the hands of Miriam, that she played such an important role in all this that was going to happen. So let's understand what is going on here in the Shira. So now go to Rashi. We are on the top of page 7, right, within topic, right, 15, but we're top of page 7. So Rashi is explaining what is going on here in Shirat Hayam. And Rashi wants to highlight, right, when did she have her nevuah? Ah, she had a nevuah when she was the sister of Aaron. That's why she's called the sister of Aaron, because it was Miriam's nevuah, right, when Moshe wasn't born yet, that really brought this Yeshua. So that's why, now that we're passing Yam Suf and we're singing Shirat Hayam, because only now is the Yeshua complete, at least phase 1. Because when they were before Yam Suf, they still weren't saved completely because Mitzrayim were following them. They're going to destroy them. They're going to kill them. So only after Yam Suf is this understanding of the complete Geula, at least phase 1 of leaving Mitzrayim, is complete. And who is responsible for it? Miriam, because she's the one who encouraged, right, the remarriage and the birth of Moshe. Also, what does Rashi want to say? Betupim u'bimcholot, muftachot hayu tzidkaniyot shebador. While we saw the Medrash says tzadikim shebador, which means wants to be more inclusive, beautifully. But Rashi, of course, is taking exactly from that Midrash, and he's changing this one word to say tzidkaniyot shebador. Rashi wants to highlight, right, the amazing role that the women in Am Yisrael played in their emuna by, even in the most difficult times, looking ahead to Geula, even though they're living in a time that was so dark. And they had to have that kind of foresight and emuna. One second. Jacqueline girl. Amen. Usually I try to say my bracha and have a drink right before, but I didn't have a chance. But this way you can all say amen. We did an amen society thing. Great. Maybe, you know, when we have all the foods, we could do that too. So, bitupim b'mchalot, Rashi says, muftachot hayu tzidkaniyot shebador. Now look at that language, right? What is Rashi saying here? Muftachot. And what is that word, right? Muftachot. Because, right, it says, Ela hatzadikim hayu muftachim v'yodim. Right? So in the Medrash, it says the word muftachim, right? That tzadikim had this belief. But Rashi wants to emphasize who had this unbelievable bitachon. It was the women in Am Yisrael, right? Had this unbelievable bitachon that good things are going to happen. And that's why, right, they are coming out with their own. And that's why they had to say their own Shira. It's true Moshe saying it for everybody. But the women felt a real special, unique connection to this Yeshua. So they are, right, saying the Shira over, right, with the singing and the dancing. So Rashi really wants to emphasize this idea in a beautiful way. The Rashbam explains, no, why we call her a Neviah here? Because if you say Shevach or Tochacha, right, if you give praise or you give Tochacha, Rashbam is Rashi's grandson, wants to explain the Torah according to the Pshat. He says, no, she's called a Neviah because she's giving Shevach here. So we're calling her a Neviah. He doesn't bring in that early Midrash that she's really responsible for everything that's going on here. Ibn Ezra, also a Pashtan, says, look at line 3 in the Ibn Ezra. Kach nignu ota kula kol hanashim haminagnot. What was special of the woman's Shira? They were also playing musical instruments. In addition, right, to singing the Shira, they were also playing musical instruments. That was their contribution. The Bechor Shor, also an early, right, Pashtan, says, why are we calling her Achot Aharon? Because when we mention a woman, many times we mention her older brother, right, in order to identify who she is, right? So who was Miriam's older brother? Aharon. So that's why we're mentioning all these things. And Ramban also says, we usually mention by the older brother. And who do we feel bad for in this situation? Aharon, because Moshe is singing the Shira. Miriam singing the Shira. Who do we also want to give a shout out to? Aharon, because he's also one of the three great leaders. So Ramban says we care about Aharon, and we want to make sure, right, that he's included in this mention. And go to the Chizkuni, page 8. I just want you to see, there's so many different ways to give Parshanut, right? One is to really delve and say, oh, the Medrash, we're learning so many messages from the Medrash. But also, oh, let's see what the Pshat is really telling us, right? The Chizkuni is saying, ah, she is giving Shevach here, so that's why we're calling her a Neviah, which means not having to rely on what? This Midrash. Why is she a Neviah? She had this Midrash earlier during her lifetime, right? When she's the one who is responsible for Moshe's birth. So we see very interesting, the Parshanim that are very connected to the Midrash are really highlighting an extra special role that the women have. And the other Parshanim who are looking at, okay, she's a Neviah, she's also copying Moshe to give Shevach v'hodah, but it's not something amazing, unique, that the women are playing this special role. So we see that there are many times in Parshanut different ways of seeing it, but the tradition that has really continued throughout all the generations is really this idea, and we see it in the Gemara, that women are obligated in Arba Kosot Shel Yayin on Pesach, she'af hen ayu b'oto anes. And there are two ways to describe it. Is it just that women were included because they were also going to be destroyed with all of Bnei Israel? Or did women play an extra special role, right? And the major view is women played an extra special role, right? Bizchut nashim tzidkaniyot, we did that Gemara last time. Bizchut nashim tzidkaniyot shayu bo do'ador, nigalu Bnei Israel mimitzrayim. That's not just that we were also included, and we were also, no, we played this special role. So we have that, again, part of this course we're seeing that we have these different ways of seeing what are ideas that really have a long-standing influence in Am Yisrael. And the idea that women played such an important role in Yitziat Mitzrayim really became the most central idea of how we see the role of the Nashim. And so much so that in 1609, when there was a Haggadah put together in Venice, one of the first published Haggadot. It's really amazing. You can look it up online, and you'll see all of the woodcuts and all of the pages. And you could buy a paper copy, which is not as expensive as if you would try to get one of the originals or the, you know, copies that were made hundreds of years ago. But what's fascinating is that almost all the pictures in the Haggadah have pictures from the Midrashim and the Psukim of how central the women were in Yitziat Mitzrayim. So almost every page has the story of what the central role of the Nashim was. So in addition to what we see in, of course, the story that we know, right, because the Haggadah doesn't have the role of individuals, right? So how do you put in to the story the role of Moshe, the role of Aaron, right? Moshe is only mentioned once. Because it is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the artists really did these beautiful woodcuts, so that became the most popular Haggadah until, of course, modern times. But that became one of the most popular Haggadahs that we have.
Which Haggadah, sorry?
This is the Venice Haggadah, 1609. It's one of the first published Haggadah. There were a lot of illuminated Haggadot before that, but we're talking about publishing. So the Kli Akar, Rav Yaakov Lunshitz, we're moving ahead, right? He has something very interesting. He says, yes, the women played a very special role when it was Ma'amad Hashchina at Yam Suf. As we say, even what a maidservant saw at Yam Suf, even, right, enormous tzaddikim and Yecheskel and other big Nevi'im didn't see. And the women really had this special connection to Nevuah. Why was it at this moment? Because they were giving birth so often in Mitzrayim that the pain of giving birth, right, was such a big involvement. Tzar Haleda was so big. So this was a moment for them when they took the musical instruments and they went into a different realm. They were able to get Ruach HaKodesh and Simcha in that moment. And that's why he's trying to explain why did they need the musical instruments. Meaning because they had to really get themselves into a higher level of Simcha in order to get this Ruach HaKodesh, which I thought was an interesting idea for us to see, because that's why he wants to explain what is the need for the musical instruments, right? The Mechilta said, no, they were planning because that's the way to give special, you know, praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Kli Akar, he says, no, they themselves wanted them to get themselves onto a high level, which means what is Shira? Not only Shevach Voda LaHashem, but also it gets you into the mood. We see this in weddings. We see this in different events, right? Music has a very big influence. Elisha Hanavi needed someone to play music for him to really get on a high level of Nevuah. And what does it mean, Mecholot? What does it mean, Betupim u'Bimcholot? So musical instruments, okay, well, I understand. But he says, oh, if you look at the word machol, right, it really means a circle, right? But on the other hand, it also is connected to the word michilat avonot. And what he also wants to say here, which is very interesting, is that once you are mode in a great miracle, then you are forgiven your sins. And that goes to the theme we started the class with, which means this idea of shevach vodah, praise, right, and realizing that Hashem does everything, and you're thankful, right, in a sense, right, it also is a way of getting mechilat avonot, which is a very interesting idea, which means, of course, the way we look, and classically, it is you do tshuva, and you are forgiven. But this idea is trying to say what is also a form of tshuva, being able to be thankful for someone else. It's not all about yourself. To see there are things outside of yourself, and especially thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a certain kind of vidui and realization, which is a very interesting idea that, you know, another time would be an interesting thing to really delve into and go to. But the Malbim says something very interesting. What does the Malbim say? The Malbim says, let's go back to the Medrash, right? The Malbim is in the late 1800s. And he's saying, but let's go back to the Medrash, right? Everyone's trying to figure out, oh, why is she Achot Aharon? Why is she Nevi'ah? Why are they taking the musical instruments? But let's go back to the original Medrash. What's the main idea of the Midrash? That we had more Zechut, Shenishay hador, first line towards the end, Shenishay hador, hayalahem zchut yoter mina anashim, which means why are the women saying their own shira? Because they really had a special zchut, even more than the men, in Yitziat Mitzrayim. They're the ones who did the food, they're the ones who had the children, they're the ones who kept up the emuna. And the women realize at Yamsuf that, oh, we had a part in this, we are celebrating in this unique way. And that's also one of the views of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the father of the Rav, that why are women obligated in the Arba Kosot Shel Yayin? Ki afhen ayu bo toanes. What's the idea of otoanes? You can't make a woman obligated, right, if there's no counter pressure in the mitzvah asei, right, shazman grama, right? We're obligated in matzah because we're also obligated in not eating chametz. But in telling the story of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, there's no negative counter pressure. But it's a mitzvah. In mitzvah de Rabbanan. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says that, oh, it's the idea of Persume Nisa. And what was so important, whether it was Esther or whether it is with Miriam, right, or on Hanukkah, that the women played such a central role in this Persum HaNes, in this idea of Nes. And that's why we're obligated in our Arba Kosot Shel Yayin, and as the Rav Zatzal, son, right, says that that is really the essence of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, because we tell the story and the whole Seder is by the Arba Kosot Shel Yayin. So by virtue of being obligated in the Arba Kosot Shel Yayin, women are really so central in the whole story and the whole event that happens at the Seder. So the Malbim says, oh, at Yam Suf, what did the women realize? We have to do a special Shira because we really had this special role. And look at Pasuk Kaf Aleph, the Malbim still. Hem amru shekolzen na'aseh bizchutan ve'al kach sharu biyichud. We have to sing, right, in this unique way because we also had this unbelievable role. So he says it twice. Not only that they had a special zchut, but that the women realized it. And that's why they had this special shira, right, that they sang at Yam Suf. And Rav Hirsch also says something beautiful. Look at page 9 on the bottom. I'm just going to do his last line. Perusha hanashim bau achrei hanashim v'natnu kolan b'shirat hitpa'alut mikol makom hushvu legamrei la'anashim b'chashivut shiratam. Rav Hirsch, right, in Western Europe, he is in Germany. He says, why do we have the women also singing Shira? For Rav Hirsch, one of the biggest ideas was this idea, oh, the value of women. Women have the same different roles, but the same value in their Avodas Hashem and everything they do. So here he wants to also continue that idea. He says the women had to sing separately because they're equal to the men. So we see we have several different stripes. We have one which is about the pshat, what is going on. We have the other, the medrash, that the women had a very special, unique role and are really special in their emunam bitachon and their role in Shirat Hayam. And then we have this idea that maybe it's equal to the men. And that's why they also sing Shira. And I'm just going to end with the view of the Das Sofrim, Rav Chaim Rabinovich. He wrote Das Sofrim, if you want, 1900, right? He's in the last century, right? We're already in the 21st century. But he writes beautifully, Romamut Ruach Neshe Yisrael Higia L'Sim Yuchad. The fact that the women are singing Shira is because that their spirituality came to such a high level and so deep, amok v'tahor, that you had to write it special in the Torah. Usually, of course, the women are singing with the men when there's Shira. But you have to really specifically, right, highlight what the women did because they keyed in on something very unique. It wasn't enough to just sing with words, with your voice. But the tserfu klei nigina, they needed musical instruments because that was to heighten the way they were expressing their hitpa'alut nafsham, their wonderment of what Hashem did. And he's marking here and he's saying, look, the fact that the women were singing at Yam Suf shows what? Tseiruf klei nigina kehodaya v'halel Hashem haya gam bebeit hamikdash, which means originally you just did the korbanot. But David instituted that you have to play musical instruments when you're bringing the korbanot. And that became a regular thing that we did with the korbanot. So Rav Rabinovitz says, hey, look, who are the first ones to really realize that the institute of musical instruments and shira, when you're doing Avodas Hashem, to bring that together, that was really from the women. And we see that it's copied later on. That shows what a high level, right, that the women were at Yam Suf. So that is also a great message for us, all of the Parshanim here and the role that women played at Yam Suf. And of course, my favorite is the view of the Midrash, in addition, of course, to Rav Rabinovitz, that the women really were key. This idea of emunah, bitachon, and looking to the future and having that hope is really something that we can learn from, and that is a very important message. And we've seen it in every single woman that we've studied together. It's not just, oh, we see it with Nishay Yisrael and Mitzrayim. Can I do it? I'm going to do all of them in the end. What is Miriam's role? The Gemara says something very important, right? And it's from a medrash that is a brisa. And we're on number 16. So what is the relationship? We're on page 9, number 16. What is the relationship between Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam and what they contributed to Am Yisrael? And of course, right, we know the Be'er in the Schut of Miriam, the Anan in the Schut of Aaron, and the Man, right, in the Schut of Moshe. And in Micha, right, Micha in the Treyasar, when he tells about the future, right, and the past, he brings a history lesson. And he says, you know, when you were in Mitzrayim, you had three great leaders, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And Rashi, quoting the Targum Yonatan, right, Targum Yonatan is the first Aramaic translation on Nach, Nevi'im and Ketuvim, Unkelos is Chumash. Rashi's quoting Targum Yonatan, and he says, et Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, Targum Yonatan says, Moshe, la'al, and this is his view, Rashi's view, Moshe, la'alfa misorat dinin. What was Moshe's job? To give the Torah. Aharon, la'kapara la'maya. Aaron was the mechaper, he's the Kohen Gadol. But Miriam, la'ora ala nishaya. Miriam was the teacher for the women, which means we already have such an early misorah that Miriam was a teacher for the women. So not only was she a midwife, right, but she was a teacher for the women. So when she leads B'not Yisrael, the women of Am Yisrael, in Shira, it's because she was actually their spiritual leader for the women in Am Yisrael. So we see that this is a very old tradition. So our question is, we're saying so many beautiful things about the women in Am Yisrael, about Miriam. So what do we do with the last piece about Miriam when she speaks about Moshe? Is that something that takes away from Miriam and we can't celebrate her like we should? Or does that teach us something else? So let's go to that. We're on page 10. And Moshe hears that everyone is complaining, right? And they don't have food. This is Parshat Balotcha Bamidbar Yud Aleph. And Moshe says, okay, I can't take care of all Am Yisrael together. I took them out of Mitzrayim. I gave them through you the Torah. And now they're complaining they don't like the man, right? And as you've been doing in all your classes, the man is the best thing ever, right? Thursday, I come in the end, I hear it, right? Thursday night, right? You're wondering, right, what you're going to do. But Friday morning, right, you get double portion. So you're able to be happy. So we know the man is something amazing. So when Bnei Israel are complaining about the man, what is that? Kfui tova. You're not being thankful at all. So that really puts Moshe over the edge, because here is something so miraculous and it's so special and you're rejecting it. So he says, okay, Hashem, I didn't give birth to this nation, right? I cannot take care of them. And Hashem says, okay, I'm going to bring them slav, right? And bring them all this. It's going to be a big mistake for them, right? And they're going to overeat. But also, I'm going to give you 70 elders who are going to help you and assist you. And let's read the psukim, right? Once they have this event that the 70 elders come, we're on number 20, Bamidbar Perek Yud Aleph. Two people stay in the camp, Eldad and Medad. And the Ruach of Hashem comes to them, even though they're in the camp and they didn't come to Ohel Moed with everyone else. Vayarat Hanash, this one young man, runs to Moshe and he says, Eldad and Medad mitnabim b'machaneh. Eldad and Medad are having nevuah in the camp. That's not allowed. They were all supposed to come to Ohel Moed. This is against the rules. So what does Yoshua Binun, who is always with Moshe, he's his student, right? Misharet Moshe mi bachura, from a young age, he is learning with Moshe. His advice is, Adoni Moshe klaim, arrest them. And Moshe says, no, hamekaneh atali, you're jealous for me? right? Umiten kol am Hashem nevi'im. I wish all Bnei Israel were nevi'im on a high level. I don't want to keep everyone down. I want everyone to have nevuah. So these two people who had nevuah, they're from the list they got in the camp. Amazing, right? If all of Bnei Israel were nevi'im, that would be amazing. Ki ten Hashem et rucho aleihem. We see what a magnanimous person Moshe was. Moshe was a giver. Moshe wanted everyone to do well. It's just when he had to give tochacha, he had to give tochacha. So Rashi says a fascinating thing based on a midrash. Vayara Tanar on number 21, Rashi. Yesh Omrim Gershom ben Moshe Haya. Who was this young man who was in the camp who saw that Eldad and Medad had Nevuah? The Medrash says it's Gershom ben Moshe. It's one of Moshe's sons. Right? Because at this point already, Tzipora's back with her two sons and she's in Machane Yisrael. Klaem, what does Rashi say? Also based on the Midrash, make them be responsible for the community, and that will kill them, right? So give them community positions, and that for sure is going to destroy them, right? Hatel aleihem tzarchei tzibur, vehem kalim elehem. Once you make someone responsible for the community, it destroys them. So, boom, you want to get rid of them? That's the fastest way to do it. Davar acher Rashi brings in, right? Tenem el beit hakel, put them in jail. Why should they be put in jail? The Medrash says, what was the nevuah they were giving? That Moshe is going to die, and Yoshua is going to bring Bnei Israel into Eretz Israel. So Yoshua is upset. You're saying my Rebbe is going to die? Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die? Right? That's not an acceptable nevuah. Put him in jail. It's horrible. It's a horrible message. And right next to this whole event, right, with the Shivim Zakenim, we have Miriam speaking to Aaron about Moshe. Look at number 22. Bamidbar perek yud bet pasuk aleph. Vatedaber Miriam va'aron b'moshe alodot ha'isha kushit asher lakach. Ki isha kushit lakach. So Miriam is speaking to Moshe, right, about Moshe's wife. Now, it's very interesting. What do we know? Miriam, according to all the Midrashim and everything we see about her, she's always getting involved in family events, right? That is her MO. So we're not shocked, right? Because she wants to get the family, right, together. She always wants to make sure there'll be continuity. That's her thing. So we also can understand, we're going to see, according to a lot of the Mefarshim, Vatedaber, she initiates. Vatedaber, she speaks. Aharon's listening, right? Aharon many times is listening to what either Miriam or Moshe says. And what's their next pasuk already? Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem. Did Hashem just speak to Moshe? Halo gam banu diber. He speaks to us too. Which means we saw in the Shirat Hayam, achot Aharon. And a lot of the Mefarshim that we didn't do, but you could look back as homework, right? Say that why are they identified together? I just wanted to bring it here. Is because they were on the same level of Nevuah. She's achot Aharon. Because she's a Neviah, but like Aharon. Moshe is on a whole different level. He gave the Torah. He's going to give the Torah. Yom Suf, he didn't yet. Right? He's on just such a different high level. What's the problem here? The next sentence, what are they also saying? Hashem doesn't just speak to Moshe. He speaks to us as well. Did they not realize Moshe's greatness? Did they have questions about what's going on? And boom, right away, what happens? Hashem intervenes and he says, Moshe is the most modest person in the whole world. And then Miriam gets tzarat. And Miriam has to be out of the camp for 7 days, and Bnei Israel wait until Miriam is collected. So just like Miriam waited, right, and saw what was happening to Moshe, now Bnei Israel is a zchut. They're waiting for her until she comes back in the camp. So everyone understood, even though she has tzarat, Miriam is still such an important individual, separate now for 7 days, but really integral. We can't move, right, without Miriam really being part of us. But she gets tzarat publicly. So the question is this a rebuke? We saw in all the Midrashim, how was Miriam projected? The fact that she speaks, pua, she speaks with her mouth. She was willing to stand up to Paro. She's willing to stand up to her father, right? When the father is upset, right, and hits her on the head when the baby's born and they have to put him in the oar. What does she know? She holds her nevuah fast. She wants to make sure that this is going to, happen. And she uses her mouth in very positive ways. So what is different here? Why is she getting tzarat for using her mouth? And one thing we could see, and we're going to read a very long Ramban, but one of the questions that we have here is that what was Miriam and also Moshe's hallmark? Direct speech. Miriam, and as we saw, and that's why did we go through all of those Mefarshim? Because one of her hallmarks was giving shevach, but also she can also give tochacha, which means she was a person who spoke her mind, right? She was a person respectfully, but strongly, right? That was her MO. That was her greatness, her mouth. What was Moshe's greatness? Also, his mouth, right? He is speaking Dvar Hashem, much higher level than Miriam, but his peh, right? The way he spoke, right? Dvar Hashem, the way he was the one who was the spokesman. He gave the Torah, right? We heard that even 8 of the Aseret HaDibrot, right? Bnei Israel heard it from Moshe's mouth. So we know that speech is a very important thing, but what is Miriam doing here differently than she did before? She's speaking to Aharon about Moshe, which means in every other situation, she is speaking directly to the individual. She is making sure that that individual, right, hears what she has to say. But now that she's going to another party, and even though it's Aharon, a family member who cares so much about Moshe, it's not like she went gossiping to the whole community. She's just speaking about her to her brother about her brother. But what do we see by the next pasuk? Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, harei gam banu diber. We know that we all mean well when we speak to one of our family members about another family member, because we want to help them. But what, of course, always happens as the conversation goes on, we start going on tangents, we start speaking about other things. Oh, they're not really so good. Maybe they deserve it. Let's figure out what do we really mean well. But, you know, once the conversation gets going, it gets going. And for Miriam, we understand why she might not have wanted to confront Moshe. Moshe, when he comes down from Har Sinai, what happened? He had to wear a masveh on his face. And what do we know? Look at the Sifrei on page 11, right? The Sifrei is also saying, what did Miriam understand? Ah, when the Shivim Zakenim got Nevuah and Eldad and Medad are in the camp, right? Who is standing with them in the camp? Miriam. And who is saying, oh, I feel bad for the wives of Eldad and Medad? Right, the Medrash says Tzipora, because she says, oh, now Moshe, he's such a big Navi, right? He's speaking to Hashem, is Karan or Panavi, wears a masveh, he's in the Ol Moed all the time, so he's separated from me. So these Midrashim are trying to highlight what was Miriam's motivation. Positive. She wanted to get the family together. She wanted to make sure Moshe, right, would have this continuity. Aharon was guaranteed continuity. He's going to have Kohanim till this very day. We have that idea. You do the DNA test. There are markers that really go back thousands of years that the Kohanim really have. So this idea of continuity is just mind-blowing. Moshe gave us the Torah, but what would Miriam would have liked for Moshe to have? He has Gershom and Eliezer, but they don't really make it big, right, in the future of Am Yisrael. So she wants also for him to have that kind of continuity, also to have a good family life, not understanding that she and Aharon might be on a different level than Moshe, and sometimes you have to have that kind of sacrifice. We don't advocate it, but Moshe is on the highest level, maybe for him, right? Hashem said, Moshe is the father pretty much of all of Am Yisrael. What's the most important thing that you have to teach your child to say when they learn how to speak? Torah tziva lanu, Moshe morasha kihilat Yaakov. To tell about the Torah that Moshe taught. Without Moshe giving the Torah, we wouldn't be here today. So Moshe's contribution, right, is so important in the area that he gave. But how does Miriam look at him? As her brother, as her little brother, that she made sure that he would be brought into the world. So she sees him more as a family member and wants to discuss. But even so, let's do the Ramban. Look at 24. It's the last source on page 12. What do we see about the Ramban? The Ramban has an unbelievable shita. The Ramban says there are 6 things that we have to remember every day, and we have to say them, the Sheish Zichirot, at the end of davening, to remember Amalek, to remember Shabbat, to remember the Man, a whole bunch, and to remember what Hashem did to Miriam. So you're thinking, why do we have to remember what Hashem did to Miriam to give her tzarat? We should say, wow, Miriam, she was the one who made sure Moshe would be born, right, to save Am Yisrael. But Ramban says something beautiful. He says, just like I think it's a mitzvah that you have to say all the zichirot, why do you have to remember what Hashem did to Miriam? Because she was really on such a high level. She only wanted to speak positively about Moshe. She wanted to make sure that he would get together with his wife, that he would be happy, that he would have right continuity, that he would be able to educate his children. I just want to bring the Rashi here. Ramban doesn't mention it. But what is Rashi's interest in bringing, oh, that it's Gershom ben Moshe. Because who is Moshe raising to be the next leader of Am Yisrael? He's raising Yoshua. Who is Aharon raising to be the next leader of Am Yisrael? His sons. So for Rashi, right, totally understanding what is happening here, and Rashi also brings the Medrash of Miriam and Tzipora together at the festival, right? You have it in your source book. So Ramban says, no, Miriam meant so well. Why do we remember Miriam? Because she spoke positively. She always confronted individuals, and this is out of character. And she really just wanted to help Moshe. And she didn't want to speak before Moshe because he's Moshe Rabbeinu. And she only spoke in front of Aaron, velo bifnei Rabim, and just in private, right? And she only wanted to do this for the most positive way. So why do we use Miriam as an exemplar? Because she was so much not about Lashon Hara, so much not about Rechilot. She always wanted to do the right thing. And she did it always in confronting the individual in the most positive way, but also in the way that had positive impact and really had reverberations, right? She was a teacher for the women. She used her mouth in that way. She went to her father. She spoke to Paro, right? She encouraged the women to come and sing Shira. Her mouth was an unbelievably powerful instrument that she always used for this positive way. So that's why when she's speaking to Aaron, even though she meant well, and it's so private, and why call her out on it? Because she's the best example for us of how not to speak Lashon Hara, how to really try to speak directly, how this kind of, it's not confrontational, it's not mean when you speak to the person. It's so hard. We know how hard it is, and that's why it's always easy to speak to someone else. What do we know about Aharon? Aharon is just the opposite. So he can't get Sarat in this case. I mean, there are many different ways. I'm just giving one way to understand it. Because what does the Medrash say about Aharon, right? And the beautiful Pirkei Avos. What would he do? He'd go to X and say Y wants to be friends with you. He'd go to Y and say X wants to be friends with you. And Aharon was just nice to everyone. He'd say, well, I can't be a mean person if Aharon is, so nice to me. So his way was speaking to the one person, but speaking about the other person. That was his way of bringing Shalom to the Olam, but not Miriam. So we really can use her for an exemplar, says Ramban, is to do it and to understand, right, that Miriam is really one of our greatest heroines. And she teaches us about how to use our speech in such a special way. So again, even this last story about Miriam really shows us her care about family, her ideas about the future. And really, she was a person who used her mouth in a special way. And I think that's really a highlight for us, that here it is Chodesh HaGe'ulah, Pesach is coming. We have the job to talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim, Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. We also have the job to have that emunah and bitachon, that even though times are difficult, that we have this bitachon, that Hashem is going to really help us, right, solve, right, the issues that we have today, and to do it in this positive way of speaking directly, making sure people hear our message, having this emunah and bitachon, and really to continue with our great ability, bizchut nashim tzidkaniyot shehayu baoto hador nigalu Yisrael mimitzrayim. Really, the nashim tzidkaniyot we have doesn't mean you have to be a tzedeket. It means you have to really be focused, have emunah, and really try to do the right thing in the best way that you can. And again, I love to bring in this beautiful midrash in the Yalkut Shimoni on Rut, Bizchut Nashim Tzidkaniyot Shebechol Dor Nigalim Am Yisrael. In every generation, there are women, and all women have this responsibility to bring us to the next level. And it's really on our shoulders. We have the capabilities. We have the abilities to do it by our actions and by our words. And I think that Miriam can be a real great example for us, and that we really move this idea of Yeshua and the idea of Nes further. And b'chol dor v'dor omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu mi'adam. And v'hi she'amda, I'm just going to quote my father-in-law as a last piece. Of course, right? Shelo echad bilvad. Of course, Hashem, right, is going to save us from everyone trying to go against us. But also, shelo echad bilvad, when we're not unified, right, sometimes those kind of cracks take away from our ability to fight our enemies. And all the women came out together to sing Shira at Yamsuf. We have the ability also to bring that yichud. We saw that with Esther. She said, Lech knos et kol ayudim. We saw that with Benot Slovchad. We mentioned all their names. So this idea of achdut, this idea of unity, this idea of voice is really our special power. So may we use it and see Geula Krova Ba'atid. Thank you.